say good day to you this day of your time. How are you all? All right. We thank you once again for allowing this communication, this transmission to occur in this manner, through this window, at this time, in this way. Once again, each and every time you allow our civilization to interact with your civilization in this manner, it affords our world an opportunity to see through each and every one of your eyes a new way, a different way, an additional way that the universe has of expressing itself, and this expands our understanding of creation as well. So we thank you for this gift of sharing. We would like to begin this transmission, this day of your time, with a light subject that we will call denial, separation, and projection. Now, the idea is to understand that negative belief systems, that is, belief systems that may be incorporated into your personality, into your consciousness, that are, shall we say, against the grain of your true self, out of alignment with your true self, out of alignment with your joy, out of alignment with your love, in alignment with your fear, belief systems of that nature, for lack of a better term, let's term them negative, mechanically, because negative energy separates, segregates, compartmentalizes, as opposed to positive energy, which integrates and makes whole. That is the mechanical definition, positive and negative energy. Belief systems, then, that your personality may have been fed since childhood, that may still be with you in your consciousness, may allow you then to experience the idea of fear. And in experiencing the idea of fear, it brings with it many times an inability to recognize what is going on in your consciousness. It has, in a sense, separated you from awareness of yourself. And thus then, when you encounter circumstances and situations in life that may interact with those belief systems, or more euphemistically, as you put it in your language, that push your buttons, you then may find yourself, rather than being aware of what the belief is that is causing the reaction within you that is negative, you may simply go into the idea called denial, which is simply lack of awareness of yourself. And you may then, because you are compounding the negative energy, go into further negative energy, which would be separation. And in the energy of denial, and in the energy of separation, because it is separate from yourself, or seems to be, you will then project the idea of the causation of this feeling outward, beyond yourself, not in yourself. You will project onto others, blame other situations for what you are experiencing, rather than accepting the responsibility for the feeling, for the experience, based on the belief systems going on within you. Now, this does not mean that you cannot recognize and cannot acknowledge when someone else might in fact be acting out of integrity, might in fact be negatively attacking you or doing something hurtful intentionally. This does not mean you cannot recognize what their actions are based on. But depending upon the clarity that you have within your own consciousness, depending upon the level of awareness you have about what belief systems you yourself have bought into, you can, regardless of anyone else's intention, you can utterly determine the effect you experience in your life. You do not have to react to any given situation or circumstance in any particular way. You can decide how you will use the information, how will you use the idea in your lives, how you will integrate the information. You can decide to experience it in a positive way, to get a positive effect out of it, regardless of what they may have intended, consciously or unconsciously. All you have to do, first of all, is recognize that if you do start to react and attack back, that is simply the mechanism of separation, of projection, based on denial or lack of awareness of the negative belief systems that you may have bought into that are perched within your unconscious self. All you have to do is get in touch with what those negative definitions, those fear definitions, might be. The idea thus then is that this concept, this three-part concept, denial, separation, projection, is another tool that you can use to give yourself a moment of pause in any circumstance and to be more consciously aware of what the choices are for you in terms of how you will interact and how you will respond rather than react to any given circumstance, and thus allow your life, your energy, your experience of the interaction, of the event, of the exchange, to be one that works for you in a positive way, again, regardless of what anyone else's intention, consciously or unconsciously, might have been. Because the choice and the power and the control, in that sense, is always in your hands. And reactions are usually, in the negative sense, only based on the fact that you have incorporated within you belief systems that are out of alignment with your truth, your joy, your love, and are in alignment with your fear, your doubt. And remember, fear is your own energy. What you experience as the sensation of fear is your own energy. And it is exactly the same energy as the energy you experience when you experience love and joy. It is exactly the same energy, but it is a different frequency of that energy. Why is it a different frequency? Because when you flow or channel your energy through your personality, through your consciousness, and your consciousness has a negative belief system within it that it's out of alignment with your truth, that energy will be experienced as the sensation you call fear. When you experience your energy or channel your energy through positive belief systems, you will experience the same energy as the frequency of joy and love. But this is also a very powerful tool, because it can help put you in touch with where you're at, what kind of belief systems you have. Because if you find yourself experiencing fear, that can tell you you have a belief system that needs looking at, that needs clarifying. We have many times, and many of you have heard this, used the analogy of the instrument on your planet you call the piano. If you are playing a wonderful song that you love, and all of a sudden you hit a flat note, a sour note, you do not run away from the piano screaming, vowing never to play it again, usually. You will simply say to yourself, that key needs to be tuned, to be brought back into harmony with the rest of the keys. That's what fear is. It's simply a flat key. It is simply letting you know you have a belief system that your energy is channeling through that results in this frequency. If you want to bring that key back into harmony with the rest of your beliefs, then use it to find out what kind of a belief system you would have to believe, what kind of idea you would have to buy into, what kind of perspective you would have to hold to be true in order to experience that kind of a reaction. Once you use your fear in that way, it will automatically transform, more or less quickly, into curiosity and imagination. And you will be able to use that energy to delve into yourself and find out what that belief system is, and then change it into a definition you prefer, which then, by doing, will automatically replace the old one. Why? Because you said so, that's why. No more complicated than that. No extra process needed, unless you insist on one, but that's your choice. But when you replace it, when you invent, when you imagine a new definition, and you believe in it wholeheartedly, and you act like you believe in it wholeheartedly, then your life will reflect that belief to you, and you will see the fear transform, and you will see the reality transform. But again, I remind you, as I always will, when this point comes up, it must be an unconditional change. You must change the belief because that's who you say you are, not because of what you think it will get you. Yes, I will be happy if this happens. I will be happy when this happens. Yes, I will change my belief because I know it will change my reality to look like this or look like that. That's conditional. It needs to be unconditional, which means you need to change the belief and live in the state you prefer to live just because that's who you say you are, even if nothing else were to change. You see, the mark, the measure, the symbol of whether or not you have really, really changed is that you start to respond differently, more positively, to what's going on outside around you, even if what's going on outside around you stays the same. It is not the mark of change that your outside world changes. It will, but only after you don't care if it does. That's the paradox. You have to change for change's sake, for your own sake, because the change is representative of simply who you are, and that's it. Not because of what you think it will do, or who you think it will change, or what you think it will get you. That's conditional, and this whole idea is about unconditional love, first of yourself, because if you don't love yourself unconditionally, you can't love anyone else, really. And then the outward expression of that unconditional love toward your life, toward everyone in your life, toward everything and everyone and all that is. This idea also goes hand in hand with a side concept we would like to address that we would like to call ground floor spirituality. The idea is to keep your spirituality simple, obvious, evident, plain, everyday, immediate, here and now. Not allowed to get too lofty in the sense of moving away from physical reality. As you simply live your physical life to the fullest and be who you are as best as you can be, you will become, in a sense, more aligned with your spiritual side. You will elevate your vibration, your frequency. It's not about detaching from physical reality. It's about incorporating and integrating spirituality and physicality into one, all-embracing life, embracing action, being, doing, saying. An example. There is, in the structure that you are all now sitting near, what you call the building, in what you call one of the upstairs bathrooms, there are three signs. One sign says, the greatest thing is to learn to know oneself. The other sign says, a prayer for serenity, asking for serenity to know what you need to accept, courage to change things that can be changed, wisdom to know the difference. Most of you are familiar with that. But the third sign says, put only toilet paper in the toilet. This is the essence of ground floor spirituality. That which belongs to that which belongs. That which is correct for that which is correct and appropriate. To a Zen master, the third sign would be the most spiritual sign. The adherence to the third sign automatically and instinctively, for example, would be a sign that the other two signs had already been fulfilled. Because you automatically simply would know what belongs where, without having to be told. You get the point? All right. Now then, we will take this opportunity once again to thank each and every one of you for allowing this exchange to take place. And once again, in return for the gift that you are giving to our society, I ask in what way may I now be of service to you? You! Good day. Wait for your magic stick. And speak up and be bold so that all may hear what you have to share. In this sense, this is one of the positive sides of projection.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Greetings.
I just
couldn't pass up the opportunity. I first listened to your tapes in 1987 and had the opportunity to be in Elmira in New York in the spring of 87.
Yes, and you find this amusing.
I do find it amusing after 11 years and everything that's occurred since then.
Yes.
My participation with Andrew and creating an East Coast Assasani connection. And what struck me in your introduction was At that time, you were talking about the ecstatic explosion of synchronicity.
Yes.
And I just want to say, I'm just so totally amazed that you guys keep coming up with different ways of saying the same thing.
How can you be amazed when the universe is infinite?
Well, I guess
it
would be.
In fact, that's exactly what the universe is. An infinite number of perspectives of the same one moment of creation. That's what the universe is.
Yeah. And after 11 years, I'm getting it. I
live
my life now.
All right, 11 is a good number.
Oh, yeah.
12
and I have no judgment on how long it took me.
That is all right. There is no need for judgment on this.
But
timing is what it is.
Yes, and that's exactly, I've been experiencing day to day that even the seemingly negative, as I've heard time after time, is perfect, and it always has been perfect, and it always has been an ecstatic explosion.
Everything is fundamentally neutral.
Yeah.
Even when something then is made to seem negative, it can at any moment, because you have the free will and you have the power to choose, be rendered back into neutrality and then be rendered into a positive energy if you so desire. Everything is fundamentally neutral and thus can always be rendered back into neutrality, and thus a decision made as to what effect it will have on your life based on the label you give it.
Yes.
It's the third law. There are only four absolute laws in creation. Just four. That's it. Just four. One, two, three, four. That's it. There are no more laws. Now, when we say law, we are not talking about rules. We're talking about laws that cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. Impossible to break. That's why they're laws. Anything else, anything that can be broken, is not a law. It's an agreement, a rule, a convenience, whatever you wish to call it. It's not a law. Even some of what you call your laws of physics are not laws, because they don't apply everywhere in every dimension of experience. Only perhaps to your dimension, your reality. But the four laws, briefly, before we continue, are this. Number one, you exist. You will never change that. You will never, ever not exist. You will change. You will never not exist. Existence only has one quality, to be. That which does not exist is different, is the other side of the coin. And both sides must be present to create the coin, or neither side can be. So if there is existence, the other side of the coin is non-existence, and that which does exist will always be one side of the coin. There is no room in non-existence for things that exist, because non-existence is already completely full with everything that will never exist. There is no room for existence in non-existence. One will never become the other, but both come from the one. So that's law number one, you exist, and you always will, and you always have. Law number two, the one is the all. The all are the one. Every piece is not only a part of the whole, but every piece is the whole, expressing itself as a part of the whole. That's the holographic paradox. And the one is all the pieces together, but knows itself as the one and all the pieces that it is. There is nothing outside the one. All the pieces are the one. There is no outside. Law number three, as we were just discussing, what you put out is what you get back. I think most of you are familiar with that to some degree. Law number four. Everything changes except the first three laws. Everything changes except the first three laws, which means even the fourth law changes. Which means that as the fourth law changes, what's the opposite of change? Stasis. Which gives you the first three unchanging laws. So it is a self-perpetuating loop. And that's it. Every situation, every circumstance, and I mean every single one, every situation, every circumstance, every dimension of experience, every reality, every level of consciousness, every single one is some manifestation of some combination of these four laws. That's it. That's it. Did you hear anything in the four laws about having to feel guilty about something? Did you hear anything in the four laws about having to think that you don't deserve this or that there isn't enough abundance for that? No, you didn't, which means it's not a law, which means you can do something about it. Make sense? Now then, does this in some way address what we were discussing, or is there some other avenue you would like to walk down?
Actually, I was pretty much grabbing the opportunity to interact with you.
All right.
Send my greetings and report in.
Thank you.
So, my greetings to the
all
other
right.
Asasani.
And report taken.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure.
You, and then you. Number two, do you know who you are?
Yes, I do.
All right. Number one, good day.
I'm a novice, and...
A novice at what?
At the teachings of Bashar.
You are not a novice at life. That's
no.
All the teachings are.
Okay.
But we understand that we may have a perspective you may not have necessarily heard before or be familiar with in the way that we particularly present it, but that's all right. Please understand that if you are a novice in that sense, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are a novice in understanding.
This is true.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I wish to achieve inner peace.
Go ahead.
And...
Did you do it?
I don't know how to do that.
Oh, you don't? Are you sure? Would you
yes.
like some suggestions?
Yes, I would, please.
All right. Now, before I give you the suggestions, I'm going to ask you a question, if I may be so bold. May I?
Yes.
Thank you. Are you willing to believe that inner peace is possible?
Yes, I am.
Why?
Because I believe everything is possible.
I see. Then what is the difficulty with allowing yourself to experience inner peace? If you believe everything is possible, why aren't you experiencing inner peace right now?
Because I have so many stresses in my life.
But I thought you said you believed everything was possible.
It is.
Then why do you have stress? If everything is possible, what limits you?
I let these stresses in my life control me.
Why do you choose to do that? You must be getting something out of it. Or you must believe you're getting something out of it. That's the point. And I'm giving you your first clue right now.
Okay.
Listen carefully, please.
Okay.
I'm going to say something very simple, and I really, really mean it. I really mean it. This is not a trick. This is not a philosophy. I really mean it. You are all already totally in control. You all know what you're doing. You all get what you ask for. Instantly, immediately, and nothing, 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 nothing. Nothing. No thing is ever, for an instant, for a microsecond, for a nanosecond, ever withheld from you, that you do not decide should be withheld. So, what we are saying is this. If you are experiencing the idea that you do not feel like you have inner peace, then you are working with belief systems and definitions that say that whatever it is you are experiencing is what serves you. Because you always, 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 always are motivated in the following way. Are you still paying attention?
Yes.
All right. This is very simple, but it's very profound. Pay attention. This is the basis of all motivation. And I mean, this is it. It is no more complicated than this. That's it. Here is the reason you choose to do anything. You will always, all of you, every single one of you, without exception, you will always make a choice in the direction of what you perceive to be most pleasurable. You will always move away from what you perceive to be most painful. Always, without any fail whatsoever. Therefore, if you are experiencing something that seems stressful and painful to you, what does that tell you in light of what I just said? It tells you this. No matter how stressful, no matter how painful it seems, you have a belief that says to change would be more painful. Therefore, you are staying with what you believe is the lesser of the pains, no matter how painful it is. You have a definition that says this is the more pleasurable choice, therefore you believe you're getting something out of continuing to choose the situations, the circumstances, the lifestyles, the beliefs that you are choosing, rather than letting yourself change because you have a definition and a belief that says that to change would be more painful than the pain you're experiencing right now. Changing that definition is what needs to happen. Because once you change that definition, believe me, none of you lack motivation. And as soon as you believe that inner peace is truly, and changing to inner peace is truly more pleasurable than what you're experiencing now, you will change in an instant. And nothing in the universe can stop you. And nothing in the universe would stop you. Did that make some sense?
Yes, thank you.
We'll go over it again if you want. But the idea really is that basic.
Okay.
Let's explore. You have definitions. This is all it comes down to. Definitions. There is... pay attention. All of you, pay attention. Here we go. Simple. There is no reality. What? There is no reality. Except your definition of it. But that's what reality is. So, if you have what you call stress, if you are choosing to put yourself into circumstances and choosing to accept stress, you have a definition that says this is what reality is most likely going to be. It might even be an unconscious definition, but this is the whole point, is to make these definitions conscious. And the way you can make them conscious, the way you can begin to make them conscious, find out what they are so you can change them, is see what's going on in your life. Because physical reality is a mirror, a reflector of the things you believe most strongly are possible. Absolutely a reflector. Not always necessarily one for one. It may come back to you in a picture that is not necessarily what you think it ought to look like or in an unexpected way, but nevertheless, it is a reflection of what you believe most strongly is capable of being true. Therefore, the choices you make, you make because you are motivated to make those choices. You make the choices that you make because of what you believe to be true. Because notice what I said is, what you perceive to be more painful, you move away from. What you perceive to be more pleasurable, you move toward. It doesn't mean they actually are more painful or more pleasurable. It's what you define, what you have been taught to believe is more pleasurable or more painful, that you move to or away from.
Okay, thank you.
Does this make some sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Do you enjoy stress?
No, I don't.
All right, well, for a moment, ask yourself this question and answer it if you wish. In what way has not having inner peace served you?
In no way.
Do you have inner peace then? Be honest. Be honest. Hesitation usually means no.
I'll give you a hint. I'm trying.
No. You don't have to try. You don't have to try. None of you have to try. All the trying in the world is your way of saying, I'm not yet ready to actually change.
I'm believing.
And that's okay. That's okay. If that's your process, that's okay. Do you follow?
Yes.
That's okay. But all the trying in the world does not actually make the thing happen. When you decide the thing will change, the thing will change.
Okay.
Until you decide the thing will change, the thing will stay the same. The trying, the processes, are the amount of time you believe you need before you are ready to actually change. But you could change at any moment. Process itself does not bring about the change. Process is your way of taking time until you believe you're ready to make an instant change. Do you follow?
Yes, I do.
So, inner peace can be, in a sense, brought about by many things, but primarily, you will find, it is connected heavily or lightly to this, and that is what we usually call the big question. Are you or are you not acting on your joy, your highest joy in life? Yes or no?
No.
Thank you. Why not? What are your definitions about acting on your highest joy that would make you hesitate to do so? And again, this goes for all of you. If you find that you can answer this. What is it about acting on your highest joy that you hesitate to do? What do you fear about acting on your highest joy that makes you hesitant to do so?
I never realized that I could act on my highest joy.
Do you now?
And now I do.
Do you absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, without a moment's hesitation, believe that at every given moment, if you act on your highest joy, it will support you in all the ways that you need to be supported?
Yes, I believe that.
Then all you have to do is behave that way, and you will see that it is true, and it's as simple as that. And this is not just philosophy, this is physics. This is not just a good idea, not just a nice sounding concept. This is physics. Because remember, there are only four laws. And that's it.
Okay.
And as you put out, so you get back.
That was my next question.
Yes.
I would like to give and receive love and happiness and to achieve discipline and
achieve
financial
discipline.
And
you are missing the point to some degree, but that's all right because you admitted that you're a novice.
This is true. This is why I said that.
Yes. Well, here's the point, and let me wrap it up for you in this concept. What you're doing right now, and this is not a judgment, is the typical Earth human thing of thinking that you need several different processes to do the same thing. It's all one thing. It's all one thing. Let me ask you this. Have you ever, for even a moment in your life, done something you really, 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 really love to do?
Yes.
All right. Now, when you were doing that, were you not completely wrapped up in it, totally consumed by it?
Yes.
All right. Did you not, in that instant, because you were so wrapped up in it, so consumed by it, have all the discipline you required?
Yes.
Well, are you getting the point? It's a complete kit. You don't have to say, all right, how can I follow my joy? And then, if I'm going to follow my joy, how can I get the discipline to follow my joy? If you are doing what you love to do more than anything else, why would you need discipline? Believe me, it'll be impossible to tear you away from it.
Okay.
And you will begin to innately and intuitively and imaginatively know all the things you need to do, because all you'll be looking for is the next thing that contains the highest amount of joy. And when you follow the thread of highest excitement, it will always lead you to the next most exciting thing that you're capable of doing, because the excitement, the thread, is the thing that lets you know you're on the path that is you. Not how it looks on the surface. The excitement, the feeling, the thing that contains the highest joy is who you are. That's what excitement is. It's your physical body's translation of the vibrational frequency of your true self. And so when you act upon circumstances at any given moment, whatever they are, that contain the highest level of that excitement, you are being squarely aligned, harmoniously aligned with your true self. And as your true self, the self you were created to be by the infinite, you automatically contain everything you need to continue to be your true self. So when you act on your highest joy, everything you need comes as a complete kit. And if some kind of concept of discipline is required, then in whatever form serves you best, it will be there automatically, because you will function holistically as one event. And you will not separate yourself out into a collection of pieces and parts and say, well, yes, now I have part A, and now I have to collect part B, and now I have to collect part C. Now what do I do about part Z? It's all one thing. All one thing. And it will come automatically if you trust that following your joy at every given moment is, in fact, what you need to do. But that's up to you. I would never tell you that you must. Does this make sense to you?
Yes, it does. The most important question I have for you is, yes, is how to rid my body of disease and
what do you think we're talking about? What do you think we're talking about?
Experiencing joy.
Listen to your own English language word, dis-ease. If you are in joy, why would you be ill at ease? If you are of a state of joy, in that state, no dis-ease is possible. Now, this is the fundamental energy answer. If in the meantime there are things you feel you need to do to allow your body some help in bringing it back into a natural, beneficial, healthy, balanced state, then it is up to you to use your intuition to find what you need, but I would simply always recommend that you find the thing that is most fundamentally natural as best as possible and make sure you're using it properly. And that will help you.
I don't understand what's fundamentally natural to...
What grows on your planet naturally to help with disease?
Herbs.
Thank you. End of conversation.
Thank you.
Number two.
Greetings.
And to you, good day.
Do you remember me from the past?
Why would I want to do that when you're here now?
I'm testing your memory.
I do not have a memory. I only exist in the moment.
I wish I had your memory.
I do not need a memory. Well, I only exist in the moment, and what I need to know, I need to know when I need to know it. What I don't know in any given moment, I don't need to know.
Then I am confident you will recall that for several years, my number one excitement for a career,
yes,
had to do with the water fuel cell, a new science and technology,
yes,
put together by Stan Meyer out in Columbus, Ohio, the inventor.
And?
Two and a half, three months ago, I got the report that he had died, that he had passed on.
All right.
Can you confirm to me that that is true? Stan Meyer.
From our perception, yes.
Can you tell me whether there was any kind of foul play involved in his passing?
From our perception, there were the idea of the individual being caught up in what you would call politics, but we do not perceive that that had anything directly to do with the death.
Okay, because he had had attempts on his life,
yes,
over the years.
Yes.
And had a couple angels that were guarding him and keeping him alive.
In that sense, then you understand it had nothing directly to do with the death. It was simply the proper timing.
Okay.
And now?
I want to believe that it was right.
That what was right?
That he pass on, and that he chose to pass on. For
why
whatever.
Do you want to believe that?
Because I want to believe consistent with my beliefs, and that the impact of his new science and technology was meant to benefit mankind on this planet. And if you recall, this is my number one excitement, is to become an active part,
yes,
of that science and technology.
What do you mean to become? Are you not?
Not to the extent that I want to. So far, it's just been...
Then why do you not become involved to the extent that you want to?
Well, he and I had an agreement of about a year and a half ago that he was probably going to hire me, but then he did a bummer. He died on me, see?
Why is this, as you call it, a bummer?
Because
are you saying you don't trust the timing?
I want to trust the timing.
Then why don't you?
Well, now I'm going out there in the near future,
yes,
to beat the bushes and find out everything I can about the current status of the
all
project.
Right.
And then in
many individuals that begin to lead the way in certain areas of development will now choose to leave the planet because it will be up to the individuals who are interested in what they had to say and what doors they opened to take their place.
Then, Mike,
this is why many of you saw in the individuals that you know as your princess, your Diana, your mother, your Teresa, why they died side by side when they led the way of humanitarian actions. Because they now bequeath unto all of you to follow in their footsteps and not leave it up to them to do it for you anymore. Such is the case in some senses here. You have been inspired to a certain point, and that is well and good. But as long as the individual who started it remains around, you, in a sense, and others like you, are not necessarily spurred to do as much as you could be doing, because you're leaving it up to them. Now that you are forced to beat the bushes, you will finally take the steps necessary to allow yourself to bring yourself into the proper state where you can then express more fully the thing you say is your joy.
I know you don't enjoy predicting the future, but
it has nothing to do with enjoyment.
Well, my question is,
simply not possible.
Okay, what's your prognosis of the future of this new science and technology, which has such great potential and benefit for this planet?
This is our sensing of the energy as it exists at the present, which is all a prediction ever is.
Okay.
And that is this. It will, in its investigation, it will lead to other things that will go way beyond it. When you investigate the idea of the water fuel cell, to the degree that is representative of your highest joy, most likely what you will come across is the recognition that you have the ability to unlock a different kind of energy from water itself than you ever thought possible. And you will actually go leaps and bounds beyond the concept of the water fuel cell, but most likely you will only discover that by going along that route. So it will lead you to the proper place to make another discovery that will go beyond it and actually render that obsolete. This is quite often what your excitement is for. I'm not just talking to you personally, I'm talking to all of you. Many of you, when something excites you, you assume that it excites you because it, the thing itself that excites you, is supposed to come to fruition. No. You see, you're all very tricky people. And because you have portions of your consciousness that you hide from yourselves, more often than not, your excitement will actually come to you simply as a dangling carrot to get you to move in a certain direction, but not because the thing itself, not because the carrot itself needs to be eaten, but just because you needed to move in that direction. And once the carrot has got you walking, many times things will change, such as people dying on you unexpectedly. Because then what it's telling you is, just follow your joy the best you can without the assumption and the expectation that the thing itself that carries the excitement must be the thing itself that you actually accomplish.
I feel good about what you're saying.
Yes.
I intend to, as I say, thoroughly investigate this now and get current with the people that remain.
If that is your true joy, by all means, do so, and that will be the thing you need to do. But if at any given moment, for some reason, no matter how long or short it lasts, your excitement changes, act on whatever it is changed into, because that will be a part. The excitement tells you that no matter how it looks, that will be a part of the overall thing that excites you. So follow it.
I will do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You, venue, number two, do you know who you are? You. Then the female, number three. All right. Number one, good day.
Oh, this is exciting.
All right, if you insist.
This is really exciting, isn't it?
All right, if you insist.
I mean, I just know a lot of us have been really excited about this interaction just because I think we've been yearning for that thing.
All right. Well, all 227 million of us are always excited.
Oh. And I almost called you Alon. I was, Alon. So I apologize.
I do not
mind, personal
since Bashar is not my name anyway.
Uh-huh. Right.
We don't have names, remember?
Right.
These are words that are used for your convenience so that you don't stumble around and go, buddy.
So, I have no idea what I'm going to say, so I'm just going to go
right,
with
congratulations.
It. Right.
You have achieved a high state of awareness.
Okay. So I'm just going to let it flow, and I know a lot of us think about the question, you know, what are we going to ask? Oh, God, this is great, such an important time, I only had my one moment. But I'm trusting that I'm going to get a lot of my questions answered from everybody else.
So, all right, if you say so.
I can tell already, just from your opening.
Thank you.
Very, very good.
Thank you for your synchronicity.
Yeah. And my piano needs tuning.
Well, all right.
To say the least, definitely, because I've been really, really exploring. I thought I knew everything.
All right. For some of you, it's not even a piano. It's an old harpsichord.
Yeah. So I've been doing that a lot. And it's funny because lately, I can't go any further. What's going on with Alon? Where is he right now?
Wherever he wants to be.
Okay. Are you on your planet?
No. I am in my spacecraft and have been for quite some time. with three other spacecraft positioned actually around your planet in a tetrahedral formation.
Far out.
I myself, well, not that far out, all only right. About 27,000 in that sense. You follow? 27,000 in that sense.
1,000 miles?
Yes. At this time.
Over what continent?
Over the city you call Cairo.
Ha, Egypt.
And I will remain there, changing in elevation, up or down slightly, depending upon the fluctuations in the energy of the collective consciousness of your planet, until what you might call, ultimately, day of contact.
Excellent.
At which point, we will touch down. The height above your planet that I will be at any given moment is representative of how close or far the energy is from contact. We are now acting as a barometer. And I will remain there until such time, be it what you call 5, 10, or 15 of your years. Because time to us is nothing.
You are one of how many spacecraft?
4. We are the points of a tetrahedral formation around your planet. There are other spacecraft, of course, to be sure, from other societies and such. But of my society, there are 4 ships positioned in a tetrahedral structure around your planet right now, the points of which are about 27,000 miles above your Earth.
Excellent. So let's talk about where we're at right now in the transformation, because it sounds like
all right.
We're at a good place.
You are in the area known as Connecticut.
Enfield, great. Good.
That's where you are in the transformation.
Yeah. I guess that's the point, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We're right here.
Remember
now.
The toilet paper?
Yeah. 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 Then, okay, because
yes.
That's what I was going to ask about
yes.
That idea of
yes.
Never
mind
a report
where,
on who we are,
never
what's
mind
going on.
Where you are at relative to the transformation.
Ooh.
Are you where you want to be in your life in terms of are you living your life the way you want to live it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Hesitation usually means
no.
A little bit of no. Not fully yes, because if it right. Is truly yes, there would be unflinching, unhesitant yes.
Absolutely. I'm wavering still.
That's all right.
Still walking.
You can waver.
Yeah.
But the idea is simply that. Where are you in your life? Because where you are, if you are being to the best you know how to be, and that's all you need to do, if you are being who you are to the best you know how to be, as fully yourself as you can be, you are doing the most you can do for the whole transformation. And that's then where you are.
So why Egypt? Why are you over Cairo? Again. Did you? Naval, eh?
There are many reasons. First of all, it is a main balance point of your planet energetically, especially between what you call the water and the land. Also, of course, there is much activity going on in terms of the near opening of many secret chambers. And we are watching that.
Ooh. Sphinx, right?
Yes, and pyramid.
Ah.
Both.
Great pyramid.
Yes.
Yes.
There is chamber that is about to be opened there. Chamber about to be opened near the paw of the Sphinx underneath, about 15 feet down underground. Agreements are now being made. Discussions are now being had. Most likely this will happen within the next 2 to 3 years of your time.
Excellent. And these are these ancient writings that we talk
yes.
About. And that will tell all.
Well, not all. The chambers aren't that big. But in the sense of essential things, yes, it will tell all. In the same way that the 4 laws tell you all and doesn't take up much room.
Right.
But it will also give you history. It will give you Atlantean history. It will give you other kinds and levels of history. It will give you other ideas as well.
Will this be public information
pretty quickly?
Yes,
it will. In this case, absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt. The individuals involved will see that this is so. There are individuals of high integrity involved. Do not fear. This one will not be hidden.
Good. I was going to say, I'm a little tired of stuffed information.
I understand. But X-Files, you see, the point is that if you were all tired enough, it wouldn't be happening.
Okay. So with the present momentum of where we are,
yes,
beyond Enfield, is how will this affect us in the next 2 years? What is going to happen?
How do you want it to affect you?
I want it to be a very positively
then I guess it will be
explosion.
I guess it will be
things.
For you.
Okay.
Remember, each and every one of you are your own bubbles, regardless of the bigger bubble. You all move at your own rate, your own pace, It's up to you to determine what that pace is by the choices that you make. And that's all you need to focus on.
All right, beyond the obvious question of us going about our business,
yes.
What else can we do to enhance this idea, maybe to merge our, you know, all of us together as a collective?
That you even hold it as a possible concept makes a difference.
And to maybe share that truth with others. No?
If you wish, if that gives you joy, however you wish to share. But again, please remember, just by living your life, you act as a living example so that others can see and can choose, if they so desire, to match your frequency. And so in that sense, you are sharing it with others just by being yourself. Because you become, oh, how shall we put it, infectious.
Wow.
You understand?
Yes.
Your vibration radiates. There is now on your planet what you might call a new book, relatively speaking. Some of you may be familiar with it, some of you may not. Though we rarely recommend, we would suggest that relative to the conversation that we are having right now, you get it and you read it. And if you ponder its concepts, you will understand quite clearly what kind of impact each and every single one of you can have. And that book is called The Heart's Code. You understand?
Yes.
Heart's Code.
Heart's Code.
Heart's Code. It talks about the recognition, well, I'll put it this way, it talks about the re-recognition, since you have actually simply forgotten that this occurs, the re-recognition that your heart has intelligence and that it actually communicates to every other heart. Literally, electromagnetically. All your hearts right now are talking to one another.
Right.
Literally. I am not making this up. It is not just a philosophical idea or a euphemism or a metaphor. Your hearts are talking to each other in electromagnetic pulses right now. You are sitting in each other, immersed in each other's expanding heart bubbles. Listen to this, think about this, picture this, give energy to this, and you will see what kind of impact you have all the time. Every single beat of your heart sends out an electromagnetic 360 degree spherical bubble at the speed of light.
Yeehaw.
That electromagnetic pulse, 186,300 miles per second. That means instantly, nearly, every single one of those bubbles pulsates around and through the entire planet from every single being on it. You are immersed in each other's heartbeats. When you begin to talk to your own heart, you will know how to talk to others, sometimes without saying a thing, with your mouth or your brain, which sometimes is for the best. No offense. But you, each and every one of you, have been at war between your brains and your hearts and your bodies. It is time to allow them their due and to allow them their own unique communication and to function as a triad to work together harmoniously. Read the book, see what you get. All right?
All right.
Thank you.
Will it be more of a dimensional shift as this
You
happens?
Know the answer to that.
Okay. Can I ask you two personal questions, please?
No.
Oh.
You know why?
Why?
Because you just used one up by asking if you can ask.
Okay.
So now you have one left.
Oh. Let's see. Which one?
That's
I know
up
the answer to,
you. To
one.
Now aren't you in a puzzle?
I'm really curious actually about, it's a trivial little question, but actually an exciting one at the time. When I was out in Sedona, I took a photograph.
Yes.
Nighttime time exposure.
Yes.
What is it?
No comment.
Come on.
No.
Is it lint? Is it lint on my camera, or is it...
Number two! Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Number two person?
Yes.
Number two question?
Number two person.
Aye. Thank you.
Thanks, Bashar. You are welcome.
Greetings, Bashar.
And good day to you.
Thank you. I liked what you were talking about earlier about acting on the highest joy.
Yes.
And that's something that's been guiding my career for the past 6 years.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you. And one of the parts of the career path that I've been following is to work to help improve the environment.
Yes.
And I'm in a situation now where I'm looking at two different jobs, both relating to the environment.
Yes.
And yet I have a sense that neither is quite what my highest joy is. The problem is that I...
The what?
Pardon me?
The what? The problem?
The situation I haven't allowed to transform.
Thank you.
Okay. is that I know vaguely that I feel my highest joy is to give
How
love.
How can you feel your highest joy vaguely?
Because I don't know specific...
Isn't that a contradiction in terms?
Well, I don't know what specific action would bring about my highest joy. I have a sense that it's teaching and...
Maybe you're missing the point. Shall we help clarify this concept of following your highest joy for you?
Please.
Thank you. Here we go. This principle, remember, is simply this. Listen very literally. At any given moment, like this one, and 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 this one, at any given moment, you act to the best of your ability on the thing, whatever it is, that contains the highest joy that you have the highest capability of taking action on, whatever it is. What you people call careers, projects, goals, achievements, they aren't. They are none of those things. You all have the same career. You all have the same goal. You are all achieving the same thing, and that is this. All you have to do, the only goal you have in life, the only career you have in life, is to be yourself as fully as you can. How you choose to go about doing that at any given moment, how you choose to express the goal, how you choose to express the life career of being yourself is up to you, and that is what most of you call your careers, your projects, your jobs. It's the expression that you're talking about. Those are not your goals. You are the goal. How you want to do it is up to you. Mm-hmm. The idea, therefore, is to understand again, it doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as at every given moment, when you look at all the options available to you at that moment, whatever they may be, whatever they may be, whatever they may be, you simply decide at that moment which one contains the highest excitement out of all the ones you're aware of, and you take action to the best of your ability, to whatever degree you are capable of taking action on it. And that's all there is to it. So, the idea again is to keep it simple, moment to moment, step by step. It doesn't mean that there might not be some expression that is what you call a life-spanning career or project. It might turn out to be that, it might not. But you don't have to know that. The point simply is you will unerringly be led to whatever you need to do in whatever way you need to do it, if at every given moment you simply choose out of all the options available to you the most exciting one and act on it to the best of your ability until the next most exciting moment makes itself revealed to you, or until there is no more excitement in that and you look around for another. But it can be anything. You might decide, out of all the options you have available to you at any given moment, that simply taking a walk in the park is the most exciting thing you can imagine doing at that moment. If you diminish that, if you devalue that as if it had no business or no place having anything at all to do with this idea of environmental protection that you say you're excited about, then you're missing the point. If that really is the most exciting thing that occurs to you at that moment that you're capable of doing, then it is connected, and the excitement is what tells you that it is. Because who knows what you're going to think of on that walk? Who knows who you might meet? Who knows what you might see? That will dovetail right back in to the other thing that you may not really have an ability to do anything about at the moment. That may not right then contain all your highest excitement. Does this make some sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Why did you say it like that?
Because I'm thinking of how to apply it to my specific situation.
I just told you.
Well...
Why are you making this complicated? Oh, I see. You enjoy complication.
No.
Are you sure?
I have to make a decision in the next 3 weeks.
Then make one.
Well, the situation for me is that over the past year, I've taught a number of seminars on environmental sustainability.
Yes.
And there was a lot of giving and receiving of love that went on, and I
yes.
felt empowered, and like that was part of my joy.
You felt empowered. Why?
Because I felt like I was doing my highest joy.
And are you saying you don't feel empowered now?
In the two jobs that I'm looking at, no.
Then why would you consider either of them?
Because they...
Because what? Here it comes. Because what?
Because I think they could be steps along the path to what my
you
ultimate joy is.
You think they could be?
Yes, I think
you
they could be.
You think they could be?
I don't know. Feel they could be? I don't know. Feel they could.
What we're saying is, it's not obvious, is it?
No.
Then, what does that tell you?
Well...
What
should
does
I look
that
for,
tell you?
Look for a third option?
Thank you. What did we just get through saying? You have before you several options. What, out of all the options, actually does contain the most excitement at this given moment? Obviously, something other than those two options must. Mm-hmm. Well, can you name right now a third thing that has more excitement than those two? Anything at all that has more excitement than those two?
I can't think of a practical one that I could.
What
no.
do you mean a practical one?
One where
why
I can make a living.
Why are you putting in terms and conditions this idea?
Because I have some debt and I need to be making money.
So you're
right
making
away.
It conditional. You're
yes.
making it conditional. You're not getting this. Let it sink in. I'll give it to you one more time because we love you.
Thank you. I love you too.
Thank you. If you were willing, now pay attention, this is important. If you were willing to believe, I'll say it again. If you were willing to believe that such a thing as simply taking a walk in the park might actually bring you into contact with what you need to support yourself, wouldn't you allow that to be an option that could be more exciting?
Yes.
Yes, but not really. In other words, you don't really believe that something like that could actually give you the money you need.
I have to admit, I have some fear. I'm not saying doubt about it, but I have some fear
about
it.
What's the difference?
Well, I don't know.
Fear is doubt. Doubt is fear.
Well, see, one of my concerns is that one of the options that I'm looking at is to become a senior person in an agency that would rate companies' environmental performance and use that to influence Wall Street, which could have
all
a lot
right,
of leverage
stop,
over
stop,
corporations.
Stop, stop,
so,
stop, stop, stop.
Okay.
I would like to ask you to do something right now if you are willing.
Yes.
Do you have a straight line of ability to walk toward the channel's chair?
Yes. No, I don't.
All right. Will you please move yourself to a spot where there is no obstruction between yourself and the channel's chair?
Okay.
And be about, oh, say, 10, 20, 30 feet away, whatever you wish, but not right up on it.
Okay.
Do you have a clear line?
Oh. Okay. Yes.
All right. Now, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
How did you get there?
I walked.
That's all? You didn't have to think about it? You didn't have to plan it? You didn't have to say, well, what am I going to do when I get to that spot? You didn't have to think about, well, what's going to happen after step number four? Should I make step number five there or here?
Well, I thought a little
bit
about
that.
Well, if
step number five is here, will I be able to influence step number six? Will step number seven be as powerful as it could be if step number six is over there instead of over here?
No.
If you did all that, you wouldn't have walked, you wouldn't be where you are now.
It's true.
It would have been impossible. And that's what you're doing to your life. You're trying to second guess, third guess, fourth guess, fifth guess, sixth guess, seventh guess yourself, thinking that you need to know every single move you're going to ever make. And that is going to straitjacket you so that you won't be able to move at all.
Well...
If, don't say, well... If you really trust the idea that your excitement, your highest joy, is all the guiding principle you need, then a very, very, very lightweight and loose outline is all that's ever necessary. Let the plan fill itself in as you go. Don't plan it all out before you even take the first step. I'm not saying... be, in your terms, willy-nilly. I'm not saying be irresponsible. I'm simply saying you are putting too much planning into what it is without enough understanding that the planning unfolds automatically if you will give it a chance to do so. And you will wind up being where you really do need to be to make a difference where you really need to make a difference if that is really representative of your heart's desire and your joy. You don't have to necessarily plan out every single route and every single step of how you think you need to get there, because very often the routes you all plan and the steps you all lay out are the longest possible path there is. And there actually might be a shorter one, but you're not willing to find out what it is through automatic synchronicity because you think you need to know every single step, every single moment of the way. And that's not the case. Does this make some sense to you?
Yes, and one of the questions that I was going to ask you is how to live in the present and not always be worrying or thinking about or planning about the future.
All right, well, again, I really just told you. When you trust, when you fully believe that allowing yourself to act on your highest joy at any given moment is what you need to do, and that's all you need to do, there will be no other choice but to live in the present. You will not want to behave in any other fashion. That's how. But you haven't made it important enough yet. You haven't made it powerful enough yet.
Well, I think the problem for me is that I don't know fully how to trust then, because I have
a lot of fear. No. You do. Trust me, you know how to trust. None of you lack any trust. You never have, never will. There's no such thing as a lack of trust. No such thing. Not even for a second. No such thing. Never has been, never will be a lack of trust. The question is, what definition are you putting your trust in?
Well, it's true. I probably trust that I'm not good enough and can't make it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But you see, it's not about learning how to trust. You already know how to do that. And when we go back to the idea of definitions and motivations, as soon as you redefine what living in the moment is all about, as soon as you redefine the idea of what following your joy is all about, as soon as you give following your joy a definition that lets it work for you powerfully, you'll trust that. Until you choose that definition, you'll trust whatever definition you believe works for you. And that's what you'll get. Period.
How do you just change something you've trusted for a long time to
a
more positive
belief? All right, that's a very good question. I'll tell you how you just do it. Are you ready?
Just do it.
Thank you. But I'll also give you the benefit of what you call an explanation. All right?
Thank you.
I begin by saying this to you. You can understand this however you want. Everything that you call a different moment, the next moment after that, 3 weeks from now, 4 years from now, a century from now, a millennium from now, every single moment that you call a different moment is actually the same one moment from a different point of view, because there's only one moment in creation. Mm-hmm. Creation only exists here and now. That's it, here and now. But now this is a different here and now. Now this is different here and now. Now this is different here and now. In a sense, it's a different perspective of the same here and now. There's only one here. There's only one now. What you call different here and now is actually the same one here and now, but from a different point of view. So there's only one moment in which you exist. There is only one moment in creation. And it's the moment that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been the same moment, but the different moments you experience are you experiencing the same moment from all the different points of view. It's possible to experience that moment from your reality perspective. Now, that said, forget about it. Here is your explanation. What you call personality is a construct. In a sense, I do not mean to say it isn't natural, but let's just use your word, it's an artificial projection. It changes. It changes from moment to moment. Anytime you change an idea of yourself, anytime you gain a new perspective, your personality becomes different, does it not?
Yes.
All right. Now, here's the thing that most of you don't actually truly experientially realize. When you change anything, you've changed everything. I give it to you in the typical illustration. Imagine that you have a blue cube. Can you picture this?
Yes.
It has six blue sides, yes?
Yes.
Now, in your imagination, allow one side to change to red, so that you have one red side and five blue sides on this six-sided cube. Have you got that?
Yes.
Now, there are two ways to look at this, two perspectives, each of which has its own consequence. Number one, and this is, in a sense, the way you've been looking at things. You can say, well, all right, there was this cube, it was a blue cube, and I changed one of the sides to red of that cube. So that cube has experienced one small change. That's one way to look at it, and the way most of you look at change in your life. However, here's the way we look at it, and the way you can choose to look at it that has a profound effect. You can suddenly realize, wait a minute, a cube with six blue sides and a cube with five blue sides and one red one are two completely different cubes. Utterly different cubes. Totally different realities. Mm-hmm. It isn't just a small change in the same cube, it's a completely different cube. Using this analogy, and applying this analogy to your personality construct, which is only formed of definitions, then you can understand that if you change anything in the equation of who and what you are as a personality, then if you do change, then literally, again, this is not a metaphor, literally, physically, energetically, universally, reality-wise, literally, you are not the same person that was there a second before.
Okay.
Literally. If you are literally not the same person, and here's the key, you do not have any of the history of the other person that was there a second before. You are raw, new, zero. And as you define what you are in that moment is what you are, and as you define what you are in that moment is, in linear space-time, what determines your history. You create the past from the present, not the other way around. Every change is a total change. When you know that, when you really allow yourself to embrace and accept that idea that as you change every single second, you are truly, literally, not the same person at all, and therefore have no connection, no history to the other person that was there a moment ago, wherever he went, then you can be anything you want in this moment, because the only connection you make to the so-called past is the one you make right now, the one you assume you have to make because of your illusion of continuity. But whatever you define yourself to be right now is what you are, regardless of anything else that ever happened. That's how you know you change, and that's how you just do it.
Thank you.
All right.
The one question that I have that still relates to my job thing is that I think fear might be keeping me from seeing that an option is could be good for me.
All right, very good and very insightful, and that is the last thing we will cover very briefly, because this is a good thing for all of you to remember. This is the checkpoint for yourself. Anytime you come up to something that either is what appears to be the most exciting thing or appears to not be exciting to you, always give yourself the opportunity to check yourself, because you never always know what kind of belief systems you have within you. Ask yourself, is this thing not exciting because my definitions make it not exciting? Or is it really not who I am? And conversely, is this thing really the thing that excites me the most, or does it only seem that way because I'm too afraid to go in the direction that actually is representative of my excitement, and I'm only making this seem like the exciting thing, so I won't have to pay attention to that? Mm-hmm. Always double check yourself. Always take that moment of honesty, and once you have determined whether or not it's simply your beliefs that are coloring it or not, then you can proceed with clarity. And if you simply practice that, and with self-honesty, you'll get the hang of knowing how to tell the difference. All right?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You may, however you wish to, go back to your seat. And, on the way, hand the magic stick to number three.
I will.
Hi, Bashar.
And a you good day.
I want to thank you for all of your sharing and reflection, helping us remember who we are.
All right, thank you.
I want to first tell you about a story, or something that happened to a girlfriend of mine. She was riding the bus in Washington, D.C., and she was kind of thinking...
One moment.
Okay.
Does this relate directly to yourself?
No.
Will it be necessary to engage this other person in an interactive dialogue in order to proceed with this conversation?
No.
Are you sure?
No, I don't. I'm not sure.
Do you have questions that relate to yourself?
Yes, I do.
Let's begin with those.
Okay. Well, after your sharing today, I've totally shifted right now.
All right.
Realize I'm making a big move to Colorado.
Big move.
Well, a total shift and a total change that
Thank
I
you.
Feel I need to make.
Thank you, because yes, remember that if you say you're doing the thing that excites you, but you're not doing it in the place that excites you, then you're not doing the thing that excites you.
Well,
because every factor must be holistic.
Well, that's part of a question I have.
All right. Thank you for your synchronicity.
Well, the whole thing started, I've been looking for an apartment for like the last 6 months, and
yes.
nothing has turned up.
Yes.
I've looked and looked and looked, and
yes.
I've never ever had a trouble finding or creating or manifesting a space that I've really liked.
And so that told you what?
It told me it's time to make this shift and this
All
change
right.
that I've wanted to do.
All right. And so?
So I've acted on it,
Thank
and
you.
It's flowing beautifully.
Thank you. What a surprise. What a shock.
But, you know, you really
but
helped...
What?
You really helped today
yes.
by reminding me, because I really did still have some fears about, you know, work out there and, you know, having the money to support myself and things like that. Because,
yes, yes, yes.
So,
you know why?
Why?
Because you don't yet see, you're not yet allowing yourselves to be in the habit of understanding that where you are is who you are. You think that where you are is separate from who and what you are. As if it's not connected, as if it's not one similar thing, one event.
Okay.
But when you know that where you are is also who you are, how could where you are not support you?
Okay.
If that's really where you need to be, because it's really who you are. And if you're really who you are, the universe supports that. Just like it supports you when you decide to not be who you really are.
Okay.
You understand the universe does that, right? It's not that anything is ever withheld from you. The universe simply supports you in insisting that you're not who you are. It's giving you what you're asking for. It's always supporting you, but sometimes you ask to be supported in pretending that you're not who you are, so the universe says, okay.
Yeah.
You're always supported. Always. So if you decide that you will be supported by being who you are, there is no reason why the universe would stop supporting you. It's always supported you. Make sense?
Yes.
All right, so stop segregating yourself from the where and the what and the who. Stop breaking those things down as if they were separate things. It's all one thing. You're all one event. You're one complete kit.
Okay.
And if you really are attracted to a particular place and it really is representative of your joy, then it's who you are. And by definition, even though you may not understand how, it will support you. As long as you continue to follow your excitement without expectation and assumption that it must come to fruition in a particular manner.
Okay, well, I do feel like I'm kind of doing this. I've wanted to move here and, you know, I've been there here, but years ago.
Yes.
And
when will you go?
I'm going in 2 months.
All right. Have a good trip.
And
again, remember. You see, again, remember.
What?
And I'm not saying this is your case. But just as an example, since you provide an opportunity to talk about it, when your excitement comes up, the sooner you act on it, the sooner you're willing to just act on it, the sooner you find out if you even have to actually ever really do the thing that is attracting you. Maybe, just an example,
uh-huh.
maybe you don't actually really have to move to Colorado. But it took you 6 months to find that out because it took you 6 months to be willing to act on it.
Right.
But when you act on it, maybe you will achieve what needed to be achieved in terms of following your excitement, and moving to Colorado may never have been the point. It might be. I'm not saying it's not.
Okay.
I'm just using this as an example for this case.
Okay.
You follow me?
Yes.
So the sooner you act on your excitement, the sooner you find out in what way it really needs to manifest. It may not be what it first presents itself to you as. But if you take your time and hesitate, then it takes you that much longer to find out that that's not the thing. And then you get disappointed. And you say, I'm doing something wrong.
You're confusing me again. You're confusing me.
I'm just talking in generalities.
Yeah.
But if you are excited about moving, then act on it to the best of your ability. And as long as you have the capability of acting on it, move.
Okay. Do I have a past connection to Colorado, or is there...
Yes.
I do.
But so what?
I'm just curious.
This is your present life. And remember, you create the past from the present.
Yes.
So any connection you may feel from the past, you are creating from here. It didn't come from the past, it's coming from here.
Okay.
Because in another life, you may not have that connection to there. That you, whatever life is living in that sense, is being lived, might have a connection to somewhere else. Because it's making its connections from that life. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Because time, in that sense, is really simultaneously multidimensional. And past lives all exist right now. You make a cross connection, more precisely. But everything is here and now. Whatever past lives you may be connecting to, do not influence your present life. You didn't come from there to this life linearly. You decided what you would be in this life, and you decided what past lives, alternate parallel reality time stream experiences, if you wish, to make a connection to from this life that would be most reflective of the energy you needed to connect to for this life.
Okay.
No,
I'm not stuck in any, you know, thinking or about past lives or any...
Yes, I know. I am just attempting to explain
so that
clarity is had by all.
All right.
And so, are you excited about moving to Colorado?
Yes, I'm very excited.
All right!
Yes? I guess that's, I don't know, that's about it.
All right.
I thank you very much.
What? Were you done?
Yes, thank you very much, Bashar.
Female.
Thank you, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
And to you. I was just remembering that I don't remember a lot of my childhood when people remind me.
Yes.
What does that mean?
It can mean many things.
Oh, but can you give me a specific...
Mean you're suppressing something.
Oh, okay.
It can mean that you were focused on something and may not necessarily need to pay attention to other things. It can mean many different kinds of things. It can mean that it's your way of helping you focus in the present instead of the past. It can mean many different kinds of things.
Okay.
It's up to you to decide what that means for you and to explore yourself.
But there's so many parts that I don't remember.
Yes.
That I'm afraid to...
If you are afraid to remember, that can be a stronger indication that there may be some suppression.
Uh-huh.
Is there some technique that you would feel comfortable with to allow yourself to bring those memories forth?
No.
Are you saying there's no technique you're aware of or no technique you're comfortable with?
I'm not aware of.
Such as hypnotherapeutic regression? Such as meditation? Such as... riding one of your roller coasters? A really scary one? I'm not being facetious. Many of you will find that when you put yourselves in that kind of a controlled danger, you will invoke memories. You will rattle them free. Also, deep, deep, deep neuromuscular therapy massage. Not just a nice little massage. Deep neuromuscular therapy massage. Deep will press neurological points where certain memory patterns are stored, and many times will cause emotional release that will bring back the memory. There are any number of ways you can avail yourself of techniques that can jog your memory in a way that might then be at least pleasant for you, and in a way that you feel you can integrate and deal with. You follow?
Yes, thank
you. So use your imagination, but the idea is, put yourself in some kind of immediacy, and therefore, with a willingness and a desire, and a little bit of creative pressure, you can squeeze some of those memories free, if you want to. All right?
Thank you. I do. Thanks.
Does that help you?
Yes, it helps me.
Thank you. What?
I'm here.
One moment.
I'm here.
Proceed.
I believe, I know that I have the gift of intuition.
All right, but first of all, what happened to, hello, good day.
Hello, good day.
Thank you. Good day.
Good day. I believe that I have the gift of intuition. I also believe that I was a 12th century Cistercian monk.
One moment. The mail over here. Yes, you. Say, I am number two. Yes, and so, Mr.
I am number one. Anyway,
yes.
Last winter when we were in Colombia.
Yes.
Not Colombia. We were in several places. Colombia, we were in a monastery.
Yes.
And there was an exact likeness of me on the wall.
Yes.
So much so that two tours stopped. The tour guides were in absolute befuddlement.
Yes.
Because my resemblance was exactly that.
Yes, and this is supposed to be mysterious.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Is this supposed to be mysterious or strange?
I don't think it's mysterious at all.
All right, then, thank you.
I know you don't project the future. Do you speak at all to the past?
Again, it's much the same thing. Here is the idea. Again, you make connections when you make them from here. But what you are doing in this case is this. There have actually been a number of lives in which you have garnered or created for yourself genetically an almost identical appearance. You did this, in a sense, to actually leave markers for yourself throughout history, so that they would be trigger points for you to bring you back in touch with the image that reminds you of your core natural self. Clever of you. You follow? Yes,
yes,
no, maybe?
Well, perhaps.
Perhaps? Was that a difficult concept? Is something not clear about that concept?
Not particularly.
Throughout different lives, you have do you understand that you choose your different lives?
Yes.
All right. Do you understand that you can also choose, to some degree, the way you actually look in that life?
Yes.
Then what you have done throughout history is chosen many lives wherein you look pretty much the same. Are you following me so far? As you do right now. You following me?
Yes.
Therefore, it would be most likely that somewhere throughout history, likenesses of yourself would be left in different places at different times, so that you would then, by coming across that likeness in one lifetime or another, trigger yourself back into the energy that would bring you back into discovery and research of certain ideas and concepts of consciousness. So you left markers for yourself that would key you back into a certain frequency. And this marker you have used is similarity of likeness in many different lifetimes. Are you following me now?
Yes, I've seen this likeness at least four times.
That's what I'm saying. You've left a trail of similar likenesses all over the place so that you would run across them and be reminded of who you are energetically. You follow that now?
Yeah.
All right. Very clever. Does that help you?
Yeah, I believe that the future holds for me to be back in that place again, in that monastic place.
If you wish. Do you wish?
There's a very large part of me that does, yes.
The choice will be made primarily once you translate into spirit. What you may be feeling right now is the urge that you are giving yourself to simply be in that place in your own future, in this life, energetically, rather than literally. Because for many of you, again, I know this is a linear phrase, but for many of you, not all of you necessarily, and you can decide what you wish to decide in terms of incarnating again, but for most of you, this is your last life in this cycle. Many of you may not translate back into earth lives after this life. But it's up to you. If you feel that it will serve some purpose and some benefit for you or others, then yes, you may continue to decide to follow through with that. But it is not set and will not be set until such time as you actually translate into spirit. But for right now, you can use that feeling of being tugged toward that state and that place to simply allow yourself to exist in that state in this life in whatever way you deem is most appropriate. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does this help you?
Yeah. The present confusion that I have,
yes,
is the same confusion that's been expressed by quite a few here.
Yes, and that
and it's
is?
It's all on a material plane. What do I do about job? Where will I live? What do I do about money?
Well, have you been listening?
And I'm sorry, I don't have that confusion, okay?
Oh, all right, thank you.
Okay. I relate to that confusion, is what
all
I mean.
All right, what does that mean?
What that means is that I reject it. I absolutely reject that confusion as to job, title, money, house, where I'm going to be.
All right, so what you're saying is that mindset is simply not who you are.
Right.
All right.
Who I am is at this very moment under this tree, right,
yes,
now, this moment.
Yes.
Not yesterday, today, tomorrow.
Yes.
Or next week.
Yes.
Or any concern about being president of whatever.
All right. And therefore you brought up the idea for what purpose?
Simply to express myself.
And why did you feel the need to express yourself in that way?
Because I believe that I'm going through some serious life changes,
yes,
that have accomplished this for me. You know,
yes,
some changes that have made this all possible.
So you are making a statement that you have allowed yourself to exist in a state that allows you to no longer be concerned about issues that many people on your planet are concerned about. Is that what you're saying?
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm done.
Number two. And to you, good day. Yes.
Bashar.
Good day.
Good day. We meet again.
All right. For the very first time.
For the very first time. I have a question.
Yes.
When we met in Egypt, do you remember?
I will remember what I need to.
Okay. We're doing an exercise in the tent looking at the pyramid.
Yes.
And you told me to move.
Yes.
And I did.
Yes.
And then you came back and I went in to the vortex into your forehead. Do you remember that?
And
I can't remember what we talked about.
So?
It bothers me. I'd like to know.
Why does it bother you?
There's something that came up and I feel that it's time now to express.
All
to
right.
Experience.
Then in what way are you following your joy and excitement in life? Or if you wish, if it's easier, what way are you not?
That's true. I'm not, you're right, I'm making a living. I'm doing a lot of work that's, it could be fun, but more fun, my excitement would be to assist people in healing.
In what way specifically? Is there a particular form of expression that you are saying excites you more than any other at this particular moment?
Form of expression
in
healing?
Yes, in terms of healing.
Yes.
What kind?
Self-healing.
Self-healing?
Yes.
Yes. Is there a particular methodology that it excites you to apply? Will you do it through touch, through energy, through herbs, through the idea of talking? How do you wish to do it? Or do you wish to do it in a number of ways?
Just talking.
All right, talking. So what? Sharing ideas, sharing concepts, presenting concepts?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
That's one.
Oh, all right. And you will begin to do this, or have you begun to do this?
I have begun to do this.
All right. Are you doing it in the most exciting way you can possibly imagine doing it?
No.
All right. Is there another way you could be doing it that's more exciting?
I could, yes.
All right. Will you start doing it that way?
Not just yet.
Why not?
I have a question about it.
Oh, all right. What is that question?
The concept that I'm using.
Which is?
Going back to an earlier time or a previous life.
Yes.
And seeing what experience that I didn't learn from. And then bring
yes.
that forward.
Yes.
Learn what I need to.
Yes.
And then I can change
yes.
from dis-ease to
yes.
at ease.
Yes. This is absolutely like any tool, completely and utterly valid. At the same time, understand it's only a convenience.
Okay.
It's not literal, it's a convenience, but it's absolutely valid as a tool if that is what is representative of your path of least resistance and your strongest definitional beliefs as to what will work for you.
Okay.
By all means, if that's what you identify with energetically, then yes, use it creatively, imaginatively, and it will work. But understand at the same time, it is only a convenience that you are creating. Because
and
you're not really hampered by anything that happened in the past.
That's it. See, now I listen to your tapes, Bashar.
Yes.
And you're telling me I don't need to do all that.
Yes. Well, you know, we deliver information at one point in the transmission, and when we feel that it is time for simpler information, we deliver that. The idea is that this has been, over the last 15 of your Earth years, a progression in the delivering of information.
Yes.
Sometimes first we would deliver ideas of processes and techniques that involve some complexity, but as you begin to get the idea that you're the creators of your reality, then we can reflect that back to you through simpler and simpler and simpler ideas until such time as we can say, just do it. And you don't necessarily need any other technique, but at the same time we tell you, if you desire another technique, bless you and use it.
Well, I did that.
All right.
I advised someone to just do that.
Yes.
And they brought the disease back.
Yes, well, why?
They didn't, because I don't believe that they learned what they needed to learn when they brought the disease forward.
Well, that's all right. So, you have to know that when you talk about helping other people, you're only really helping them when it's unconditional help. And that means you have to let it be all right for them to not be helped.
Yes.
If it's conditional, you're not helping. And you're not providing the example that they need to understand that they can really allow themselves to choose something and make a change and allow themselves not to choose that thing again. But sometimes the lesson is for them. Sometimes the lesson is for the healer.
Yes, yes, yes.
Again, remember, what you're doing is you are helping people unconditionally, and if someone might have, I'm not saying this is necessarily the case in this instance as you pointed it out, but just as an example, if someone decides that they have a vested interest in being sick, and they insist that going to a healer will not help them, and then if they go and they aren't helped, then you have helped them prove their point to someone else, and that's what they actually went to you for, was to prove their point to someone else and insist that their belief is real. And so in that sense, you've helped them play their game, and that's all right. If you know that's what you're doing, then you understand you have helped them. And by being unconditional about it, you've actually paradoxically given them more opportunity later to perhaps choose to do something different. But not because they have to, because that's not what healing is about. Healing is about allowance on all levels, not about insistence. Insistence is what creates disease to begin with. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
Does this help?
Absolutely. Now I have another question.
Yes.
Egypt.
Yes.
It was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yes.
The opening of the secret chamber.
Yes.
Are there dangers?
No.
You don't have to worry about the wall coming down or knives coming at you or anything.
No.
Nothing at all.
No.
They said
because
that would
the
be
ones
dangerous.
Who will open it will be the right ones.
I see. The opening, can it be down in the pit to when you get into the pit, there's a hole or deep hole, and just to the right of that hole, there's a grate, and there's an opening there, and there's grate over it.
That is an opening to other things, not to the chamber we are talking about now.
Well, it sounded good.
Yes. Thank you.
Now, the other thing about this, when I went to Egypt.
Yes.
And we had the last session.
Yes.
Elon was on the panel.
Yes.
What they told us then was, what we project into the universe, if we project enough love,
yes,
then you will come.
But not because you project it so that we will come.
No.
When you project enough love into your universe, love yourselves unconditionally, then we will have an atmosphere in which we can come and nothing will stop us. But if you do it only because it will make us come, you cancel the effect.
Your words are much better than mine.
Not so. Mine are only appropriate for me, as you use appropriate words for yourself.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Female.
Where?
Work it out.
Greetings, dear.
And to you, good day.
Oh, you know, I'm just thirsting for all the information you can tell me about my children.
Why can you not access this information on your own?
I keep doing the best I can, and I wish you could tell me why the Zetas won't give me all I want to know.
It's not in their agenda to do so.
Okay, so can you tell me something?
What?
Are we feeding these children?
Repeat.
Are we feeding them? When we're there with them, is there a nursing going on?
There has been sometimes for some of them. Not always.
Okay. My sister-in-law, Franny, keeps having repetitious trouble with her breasts, and I was wondering if that's what it was all about.
Only partially. There is something else going on.
Okay. Obviously, she needs a cleansing. The other thing I wanted to know was, on an average, from last year, this year, maybe even next year, how many hybrids do I have, or does the average person have, a year, my year?
You will find, on average, in varying degrees of genetic material being present, there will be about 15.
A year? Okay.
No, not a year. Over the course of all the time of interaction.
Okay. So I'm looking to meet up with about 15 children.
On average.
Interesting. Okay, that helps in meditation, whom I'm speaking to.
However, in your case, it's more like 27.
Thank you.
Does that help you?
Yeah. Are there any messages at all from them? I know our interactions are going to be few and far between in this manner, and I didn't know if you had something you could tell me.
One moment. Do you have access to a pond or a pool that you call your own?
You're talking a little tyke's pool here.
Yes?
How
is
about
that
the beach?
Yes?
I live in Virginia Beach, which is on the beach. How is that?
A pool.
A pool.
A calm pool of water, like a fountain or a pool that you have built or made.
I have a little child's tiny pool, a little waiting
thing. Is there
thing.
A place that you can go to where there is a serene, calm pool, pond, or lake?
I have a bay. I live on the Chesapeake Bay.
You keep referring to the ocean.
Okay.
I'm going to do my research.
I'll look for a pool. Okay. I will look for a pool.
When you find the pond that is correct for you in your feeling, to sit and to stare and to let go and surrender in that space while looking into that pond will be the place and the state appropriate for more awareness of the lines of communication that already exist between you. It may come out in your dreams. It may come out in your art. What is your art?
Working with my hands.
Doing?
I mean, I'm asking you. I don't know my art. I don't
yes.
know.
Yes, what is your art?
I read tarot cards as part of my expression. I cook. I don't have too much time where I sit and just fiddle myself. It's with my own children here on Earth. So
sit and fiddle. Your art you have expressed as the idea of the symbolic cards.
Yes.
This you enjoy?
Yes.
Have you found any of the connections to them in the cards before?
Your cards. Your divination
then
cards.
Find in your art one of the strongest links and abilities to connect. All right?
Yes, sir.
One moment. One moment. One moment. each and every one of you now allow yourselves a moment to go within. Each and every one of you now allow yourselves a moment to remember who you truly are. Let go of all assumptions for this moment of what you think you are, who you believe you have been taught to be, who you believe you need to be, what you think you need to do, where you think you need to go. Just let go. And remember that the act of surrender is simply the act of acceptance, total acceptance of yourself. Surrendering is not the giving up of anything except the things that are not you. And to allow the universe to show you who you were created to be, who you are. We love you unconditionally, and we thank you for having allowed us to experience you in this way. There will be other ways, other times. First, be yourself. That is all it takes. And don't forget the toilet paper. Because that's where you are, is on the ground. Grounded spirituality. Everyday life. Living your everyday life. Your physical life to the fullest. Is the best act of spirituality you can express. Because that's what you chose. Because here you are. Accept yourselves and what you have created. And in the acceptance of your total self, and in the acceptance, totally, of whatever is happening, then what is becomes transparent and can become anything and everything. And you don't even have to wish it, because you already have it. Remember, prayer is not the act of asking for something you don't have. Prayer is a state of gratitude that allows you to recognize what you have already been given, because you already have been given everything. And in a state of gratitude, you will see, and your life will reveal to you, will manifest to you, that you already have what you didn't think you had. That is the secret of magic and appearance, is to know that you already have what it is you wish to have. And in a state of humble gratitude, to thank the infinite for what you already have, and let it be shown to you that you have it. That is prayer. Prayer must remain in the present, not project into the future, for that is a denial of who you are now. Not long for the past, for that is a denial of where you are now. Denial leads to separation, leads to projection, leads to blame. Responsibility is yours to have, and responsibility is your power. As we have remarked recently in a transmission, we will, in the next transmission to your world, speak to you as we are being spoken to. Of the difference between falling into the illusion of power as opposed to learning how to use the power of the illusion. We thank you, each and every one of you, deeply, wholly, lovingly, for this opportunity to co-create a new reality together. our unconditional love to each and all, and a fond, exciting, creative, and relaxing good day. How did it go? Thank you all very, very much for being here today. And I'd also, if you would, like you to thank Diane and Carol and everyone who is putting this together and has this space. So please thank them as well. And have a good day. Enjoy.